You're tuned in to WMFO in Medford. Tufts, freeform, non-commercial community, and even sometimes educational radio. As it is this evening, as we bring you a theme called It's Atomic, commemorating the 79th anniversaries of the atomic bombings of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, Japan, on August 6th and August 9th, 1945, setting in course the conclusion of World War II. We began that last set with Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark and Edward R. Murrow, as remixed by Chuck Yu on OMD's song Enola Gay, which was the name of the bomber that dropped the bomb on Hiroshima. And then we heard Sonny Boy Williamson, Win the War Blues, from the Atomic Cafe soundtrack. And then, while we had heard Cherry 2000's cool cover of Atomic Punk in the first main set, in that second set, we heard the original Van Halen version, a real rocker. And then it was the Buchanan Brothers and another selection from that Atomic Cafe soundtrack. It was called Atomic Power. And then going out to our listeners in Smithtown, New York, a real rocker of a song from U2 from their album How to Dismantle an Atomic Bomb, a song called Vertigo. I've been to Japan a couple of times, and I've been to Hiroshima one time, to Ground Zero there. And I've been to the museum they have with artifacts from that day in 1945. Yes, August 6, 1945. Like a watch that stopped at that exact moment, a little past 8 a.m. And there are other artifacts from people who died there, including things like their fingernails. And yeah, for decades now, I've been pretty thoroughly exposed to Japanese culture very intimately. And I know there are people who would disagree with me, but I'm not so quick to condemn the use of the nuclear bomb, that first one at Hiroshima. Sure, some people say that the United States could have invited some important Japanese officials to watch a demonstration of a nuclear bomb. But I don't think that would have quickly ended the war. Even after the second bomb was dropped on Nagasaki and the emperor had recorded his surrender speech, knowing how terrible atomic bombs were, there were still elements of the Japanese military who would have preferred the complete destruction of the Japanese people to surrendering. There was a great documentary on the History Channel I saw about this. There were generals who were in fact trying to overthrow the emperor, which is a really like strange situation given the loyalty they were having. But, you know, the Japanese were engaged in what's known as total war. Total, complete war with, like, no holds bar. When the Allies invaded the island of Okinawa, there were 72,000 U.S. casualties. 72,000! 19,000 American servicemen killed. And there were 100,000 Japanese soldiers died, along with about one-third of the civilian population of Okinawa, many of them by suicide. So what I don't understand is why the Allies demanded complete and unconditional surrender, although, yeah, maybe I do, because they were going to go and completely change and Japan's ability to make war, not a negotiated surrender. And there's, you know, was there agreement with the Soviet Union? Was it necessary to drop the second bomb at Nagasaki? That's something else that we could consider. But if I was Harry Truman with the duty, his duty foremost to the American people, you know, dropping the bomb seemed like a reasonable thing given that weapon and its existence and all the casualties, all the deaths at Okinawa. And then also, while there was tremendous loss of life at Hiroshima and Nagasaki, there were other Allied bombing raids that in fact caused more death and destruction than either of those atomic bombs. On the conventional bombing raids on Tokyo by the B-29 near the end of the war, there were at least 88,000 deaths, and some say even more significant numbers than that. And then the bombing of Dresden, Germany? Was that necessary? I don't think it was necessary. And then also the Japanese were working on a nuclear bomb. And although they were nowhere near the intensity that the U.S. had invested, I mean, at its peak, there were approximately 125,000 Americans, including Richard Feynman, working on it, and a total of 600,000 Americans cumulatively, which it's amazing they were able to keep that a secret. A big part of it was the high-level organizing, such that very few people actually understood what they were working on. And, well, there was the German submarine, a U-2, a boat. Well, yeah, that's, at the end of World War II, there was this German U-boat, U-234. It's easy to remember, U-234. And it was sent on a mission to Japan to deliver 240 tons of military cargo. So the Germans realized that they were, the war was going bad, and their Japanese allies were holding out a bit better. So they gave them a whole bunch of stuff, and on that U-234, there were 1,200 pounds of uranium dioxide, and that would have yielded more than 7 pounds of processed uranium, about one-fifth required for a bomb. So when Germany surrendered, that U-boat U-234 did as well, and it's reported that the U.S. then used that uranium dioxide in the Little Boy bomb that was dropped on Hiroshima. So that's a real strange loop, that the Germans were delivering uranium to Japan to help the Japanese make an atomic bomb. And instead, when they surrendered, we got that, and then we used it in the bomb on them. And there were two Japanese officers on U-234. And when the German commander informed them that he was going to surrender in accordance with the orders he had been given, the two Japanese officers weren't going to do that. So they killed themselves. There's a lot of that going on. Okay, we're going to start off the next set with Chuck Yu's Donald Trump remix of Heaven 17's Fascist Groove. And I'm sending that out to listener Paul Goodwin. And also, I've got some high-energy Chemical Brothers electronic music songs. And you know what? Philip and Ryan and Dylan, who's not there yet, and maybe Carol, I'm going to send these out to you, too. And, we got a U2 song, another U2 song in the mix there, in between all that. And then also from Chuck Yu's Star Wars Nuclear Disasters and the Politics of Armageddon, a track asking about responsibility. Who builds the H-bomb? And that all starts for you right now. Here. Oh, yeah, actually, I'm a little incorrect. We don't have that Heaven 17 fascist groove. This is beginning and ending with the Chemical Brothers. This is Errol Argan's Feel Me rework of Believe. With a Plastic Sushi reworking of that. Here for you now.
Of course, you know this means war.
Chingachgook, you warned me about people like you. He said, do not try to understand them. Do not try to make them understand you. That is because they are a breed apart and make no sense.
I need you to believe in something.
You wanted to know what the Matrix is.
Shorty wondering why I'm not singing. Maybe I should have killed 400 or 500 people, then I would have felt better. Then when I felt like I really offered society something.
You've got it stuck in your brain that I murdered somebody.
What do you want to call me a murderer for? I've never killed anyone. I don't need to kill anyone. I think it. I have it here.
Well, not I, says the miner. I work underground. I really don't see where the ore is all bound. Who builds the H-bomb? Not I, says the foreman at the enrichment plant. We build no bombs here. We don't, and we can't. Who builds the H-bomb? Not I, says the metallurgist inside his shop. We build the triggers, but that's where we stop. Who builds the H-bomb? Not I, says the worker on the assembly line. I weld and I solder. The blame is not mine. Who builds the H-bomb? Not I, says the sergeant in charge of maneuvers. They're already made when we test them. Disprove us. Who builds the H-bomb? Not I, says the bombardier. Not up in the air. My job is to fly and then drop them with care. Who builds the H-bomb? Well, not I, says the taxpayer. Don't look at me. I've no choice but to pay. Now, don't you agree? Who builds the H-bomb? Not I, says the senator. That you can quote. I'm only elected because of your vote. Who builds the H-bomb? Not I, says the banker, and I cannot stop it. So what is so wrong about making a profit? Who builds the H-bomb? Not I, says the physicist. I just do research. Science is objective. And I belong to a church. Who builds the H-bomb? Not I, says the preacher. It's all in God's hands. It's one of those things only he understands. Who builds the H-bomb? Not I, says the Almighty. I gave you free will. Destroy my creation, yourselves you will kill. Who builds the H-bomb? It must be someone. And I have a feeling it's everyone. All of us build it. Yes, all of us do. Will you stop for me if I stop for you?
Don't participate and it won't happen.
Some good advice from Mark Levy and David Skondras. If we all do build the H-bomb, I'll stop for you even before you stop for me, just to set an example for peace and disarmament.
Seems I'm going to go into town this morning and go window shopping.
Would you like to come along?
No, thanks. I think I'll stick around here and see what pops up. Maybe I'll get lucky.
TV is still on, but the sound is turned down, and the troops on the ground are about to dig in. I wonder, where's the love? Where is the love? Love and peace.
The time has come to world. The time has come to world. The time has come to. My finger is on the button. My finger is on the button. My finger is on the button. Galvanize. Come on, come on, come on. Galvanize. The time has come to galvanize. Come on, come on, come on.
There's no question that a single instrument can sound beautiful, but place it next to a different yet equally beautiful one, and the result can be magical. It's like the harmonies created in a diverse neighborhood where folks from different religious, racial, and cultural backgrounds all lend their own unique tone to the community voice and community spirit. Diversity promotes a greater sense of engagement. It lessens racial stereotypes. It better prepares our children for the global community they will inhabit. In fact, neighborhood diversity doesn't just sound good. It sounds great. To better understand the benefits of diversity, log on to aricherlife.org. That's www.aricherlife.org. A message brought to you by the National Fair Housing Alliance in celebration of the 40th anniversary of the Fair Housing Act.
This evening, here on the Plastic Sushi Strawberries in Time Sound Collage, our theme is It's Atomic, as we commemorate history historical events. The atomic bombings of the Japanese cities of Hiroshima and Nagasaki on August 6th and August 9th, 1945. We went full circle of sorts in that previous set. Beginning and ending with the Chemical Brothers. Started off with my Plastic Sushi remix of Errol Alkin's Feel Me rework of the Chemical Brothers' Believe from their Boxer album. And then it was a Chuck U contribution with Mark Levy and David Skrundros, Who Builds the H-Bomb? Some Thoughts to Think About from Chuck U's Star Wars, Nuclear Disasters, and the Politics of Armageddon Family and Friends CD. And then it was U2, Love and Peace, or Else, from their How to Dismantle an Atomic Bomb album. And then the Chemical Brothers concluded with my Plastic Sushi Abu Duque remix of Galvanize. So, as we talk about things atomic, I'll mention that some of the most amazing pieces of tech... Well, okay, so I've got some pieces of technology that I think are pretty fascinating. My computers, my MacBooks, although they're not so fascinating compared to today's... well, they are. I've got a fleet of 2012 MacBook Pros. And they're amazing pieces of technology to me. I've also got an Acheulean stone hand axe, which was a kind of, well, it was the Swiss Army knife of the Pleistocene, of the Stone Age. And I managed to acquire one from an antiquities dealer after in a semester-long seminar class I was taking with Tufts professor Daniel Dennett on cultural evolution. We talked about them. And it was made by a human being, the one that I own, but they weren't a human being of our species. It's kind of a funny thing to think about. But they could have been Homo erectus, Homo ergaster, maybe about a million years ago. Definitely more than 300,000 years ago, this Acheulean stone hand axe found at a eroded site in Morocco. But the piece of my favorite technology that I want to mention that relates to atomic energy is some keychain rings. Glow rings, in fact. And they're... At their core is this gas tritium. It's a radioactive isotope of hydrogen. And it's got a half-life of 12.2 years. And as it degrades, it shoots off subatomic particles. And the inside of the glow rings is lined with a material that then glows based on that. And they are little lights that the phosphorus on the inside that glows when it gets hit by the subatomic particles. And these lights last and last and last. They don't need any battery power. And I've got them on my keychain so I can find my lights, my keys in the dark, and my flashlights. And they're a pretty incredible thing. It's a practical nuclear power you can carry in your pocket. Yes, tritium glow rings. Okay, we've got one last set for you. And I'm going to be doing the same thing in a different way. We're going to have some more Chuck Yu contributions from his Star Wars Nuclear Disasters and Politics of Armageddon. Sonic montage called Nuclear Winter Paper Crane and Wooden Ships. Also going to hear from the Beastie Boys, Multilateral Nuclear Disarmament. But first, we're going to start off with a Japanese band, this time a trio of men from the Tokyo area into electronic music. Yeah, here's Genki Groove and a track called Expo. Expo Hiroshima.
Recently, the World Health Organization did a study, and they only took 7,000 nuclear weapons. In this study, they targeted every city and major town in America, United States, Canada, Russia, China, Europe, England, India, Vietnam, Korea, Australia, New Zealand, the Philippines, Guam, and elsewhere. They couldn't find any more significant targets.
Every city with a population of 100,000 or more people has been targeted.
In the first hour alone of this attack, which is a limited nuclear war, which will not occur, it will be full scale, 1 billion people died from blast alone. I repeat, 1 billion people died in the Northern Hemisphere, and in the next couple of weeks, 1 billion more died of the effects I just described. That's half the world's population. New data, however, has been produced by Carl Sagan et al. To show that these 7,000 bombs dropping on cities would cause such extraordinary fires, with oil refineries and oil dumps and chemical dumps burning, that the dust and smoke would be injected into the troposphere and would cover the Northern Hemisphere with a cloud of smoke so thick that the sun would be obliterated from the planet for several months to up to 1 year, causing the temperatures to plummet to minus 55 degrees Fahrenheit, raging snowstorms in the middle of the summer, huge tidal waves coming in from the coast. The plants will all die because they will not be able to conduct photosynthesis in the dark. And we and the animals will freeze to death in the dark, dying of acute radiation illness with levels of fallout much higher than previously predicted, our hair falling out, vomiting, bleeding to death, and dying of septicemia. And because of the temperature differential at the equators, this cloud will move rapidly down to engulf the southern hemisphere and do the same thing down there. But they find that maybe the threshold for this effect is only 1,000 bombs dropping on 100 cities.
I had a dream. It was too late. And you and I, we shared this fate. Then I woke, lucky for.
Maybe the threshold for this effect is only 1,000 bombs dropping on 100 cities. Maybe the threshold for global extinction is 1,000 bombs dropping on 100 cities. Together we own 50,000 nuclear weapons, but President Reagan says that we don't have enough, and he plans to build 17,000 more in the next 10 years. Now I want to get on to prognosis. Prognosis means how long do we think we'll survive?
How many people that I've spoken to, it's a useless task. Make them answer questions that they would never ask. At least I've been through all of this, don't say I'm not aware. I don't give up everything, as if I didn't care.
Too late,
I'm
too
good
late.
Excuses that get me where I am. I can make a difference,
too late to cry.
Take more.
Is that the
people
way
that I spoke to? It's a useless task.
at me. You know I will understand, cause that is something everybody everywhere does in the same language. Us both alive. Yeah. Wooden ships on the water, very free, easy, you know the way it's supposed.
Sister, then by the hand, lead her away from this foreign land, far away where we'll not laugh again. We are leaving, you know,
I'm gonna go.